Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp, Fightful.com, here with a name you know, and you know him by a bunch of different names. He's had success under a lot of different names, whether it be Hunico, Sin Cara, now it's Cinta de Oro. Welcome to the show. I'm so excited to talk to you. Before we went on the air, I mentioned like you were a name that I wanted to hit up right after WrestleMania anyway. You've got a lot of stuff to talk about, my man.
Yeah, man, I'm excited. I'm excited to talk a little bit about, you know, my career, what's going on right now in my life and everything that obviously pandemic hit and everything was at a halt, but I'm excited for what the future holds and I'm here for whatever you want to ask, man. Let's do it.
So how has the pandemic affected you? I mean, are you staying safe? You staying healthy and all that?
Yeah, I was fortunate enough to you know, be healthy throughout this pandemic. I got vaccinated a few months ago, which is also, you know, what things that I wanted to do. And I'm just keeping myself, you know, healthy in the best way that I can. When I travel, when I do this, always, you know, put my face mask on, gloves, whatever I need to do to always protect myself. But obviously, yeah, it's been a tough year, man. It's been a tough year in every sense of the word for not just me, for a lot of us, you know, economically and emotionally. You know, we've lost a lot of people that we love, you know, a lot of us, and it's been tough, but I take always try and take the positive, you know, and I've taken this time to really think about a lot of things in my life, what I want to accomplish, what I want to do, you know, what's next for me as a person, not just in my career and as a father. So I'm excited for what is to come now.
So where are you located as of now? Where are you based out of for those that might be interested in booking you in the future?
El Paso, Texas. Nice. It's because if I say El Paso, they're like, no. But when I say El Paso, they're like, oh, El Paso, yeah.
I love
so it's in El Paso, Texas. But when I travel out of Mexico, I usually travel out of Ciudad Juarez. So whoever wants to, you know, if there's a promoter from Mexico wants to hire me, we can fly out of Ciudad Juarez. Or if in the States or Europe, wherever, I fly out of El Paso, Texas.
Now, obviously, you made some headlines when you asked for your WWE release, and you were granted it, and that was during a time where WWE was not granting releases for a whole lot of people that yeah, wanted them. So you were one of the lucky ones that asked for it and was able to get out. Did they apply a 90-day no-compete to you when that happened?
Yeah, they did. They did. When I had the call, when they called me to tell me that they were going to give me my release, they also mentioned that they were going to give me my 90 days, and I was fine with that, you know. Mm-hmm. I understood the process of how it was, and for me, it was time for me to get everything back in order. So it gave me that little time to actually come home, get back in focus, and start, you know, getting things ready for my career as an independent wrestler again. And then all of a sudden, pandemic hit, you know. Yeah. I asked for my release in November. I got my actual release in December, a month later. And then pandemic hit. My last check with WWE was March 13. The pandemic hit a week later, so it was just like, man, this is insane. And everything stopped, and you know, I didn't know what was gonna happen. Everybody said, "Oh, 40 days, and that's it. We're done." And no, you know, it's been more than a year now, and we still can't even, you know, get back in the swing of things. But you know, I've learned a lot about myself throughout this time, you know, that I could survive outside WWE, that I could survive, you know, and doing other things, not just in wrestling. So I've learned a lot about my kids, you know, what they like, what they don't like, spending a lot of time with them. And it's just been, you know, taking the good out of the bad.
And yeah, that's something I was very curious about, because like we've not seen a ton of you since WWE, and that's a product of the pandemic, because once your 90 days were up, the world stopped, and we saw you pop up here and there. But I mean, did that put a damper on your mood? How did that affect you mentally going through that, knowing that you had made a huge career decision and then all this unfolded? Did you have any regrets? Were you still feeling pretty good about it? How was that?
No, I would just joke about it, like say, hey, man, I should have waited another, like another year or whatever to ask for my release. But nah, at the end of the day, I'm happy with my decision, what I, you know, at the time. And nobody thought this the world was going to stop. Like, who would have thought this? Nobody. And obviously, it did affect me in the sense of like emotionally. Sometimes of like just, you know, I wanted to, you know, wrestle, be out there. And now that I have the liberty of doing all those things, I wasn't able to do it. It was in the beginning. It was tough. It was time for me, you know, to really showcase what I wanted. And then all of a sudden, like, I couldn't because there were no shows, because of this, because of that. But I took it one day at a time. You know, I was trying to just, you know, focus myself on the positive and not the negative. But yeah, there were times that I would just like go, I felt like I was going crazy. I was like, man, what am I going to do? When is this thing is going to end? Like, am I going to be able to wrestle again? Or are people going to, you know, still remember all those little thoughts, you know, in your head start coming up. But, you know, I'm a man of faith, and I believe God has a plan for everybody. And in my case, you know, I understand that there's a lot of things that were going on. You know, I went through a lot personally also before the pandemic, a year before that. And then when this hit my career now, but I think that everything that went on, you know, taught me a lot of like who I am as a person, and that I could accomplish a lot of things outside wrestling, not just in wrestling. So now I'm focusing on, and I'm writing a couple books right now.
Oh, nice.
A kid's book and a motivational book. So I'm excited about that. I'm doing a project with my brother. We're putting out a solar company also soon. So there's a lot of little different projects out there that, you know, that we have had the time to actually, you know, do. I was just in, last week I went to Mexico, to Tabasco. I went to visit a kid that unfortunately has cancer. I got sent a lot of messages from his family. Like, a lot of people got together, I guess, and sent me on my social media, and I ended up doing like a little video for him. And then I wanted to reach out and went to visit him. I spoke with his mom, and they said, yeah, you can come. And I went to visit him, and, you know, I'm just trying to do, you know, things in a positive way for not just me, but for everybody. And if my career or what I do, you know, has an effect on people, then let's motivate people. Let's use that for something positive. And it was just a blessing to be out there. You know, it's a small town called Comalcalco, Tabasco. I had never been there in my life. I never thought it existed, but it was a great experience. The people there were very, very, very kind, very cool. And I know right now, Elian, his name is Elian. He's in Mexico City. He's taking the chemo right now. So I wish him the best. And, you know, I'm just trying to keep myself, you know, in the light and continue the plan that God has for me. So I'm excited about that.
You mentioned writing a book. That's something I've noticed a lot of wrestlers during the pandemic. You've seen them be creative, and wrestlers are natural born creative people anyway. Mm-hmm. I think almost every person I know that gets into wrestling on their own has a creative mind, has that creative ability, because that's what you guys are doing. You all are creating stories and telling stories. And so now you're doing it in book form.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's I never thought, you know, that I would ever write a book, to be honest. I'm like, who's gonna be interested in what I have to say? But I think as time has gone by, and the more I've done in my life, and the more experiences that I've had, I realized that, you know, I've had an amazing life, you know, and I've had got some through some rough times, but it's good for people to actually know what you thought of mine and what you went through as a young kid, or what were you thinking, or all those little things. Sometimes they're a real thing that's gonna have an effect on people. Because sometimes when people look at you, they see you as this star, you know, bigger than life. But you know, I was a kid growing up in the hood, you know, that we didn't have much, but my dad always worked really hard. My mom also, and you know, there was always food on the table, but you know, I spent a lot of time by myself. I was, you know, I went through bullying. I went through all the things of the gangs and all that crazy stuff as a young man. So I had to learn to defend myself, you know, as at a very young age. And it was funny because in the book, I mentioned, you know, how throughout my life as a young kid, you know, I was exposed to a lot of things. And even as a young kid, I remember that I would always think like, I can't do that. That's wrong. It's going to affect my wrestling career. I was like 9 years old and I was already thinking about my wrestling career, you know, how would things would affect me. And so that's what his book's about, you know, throughout my life, how God kept me, you know, in a safe place, no matter where I was, no matter where I traveled, no matter, you know, what I did, he would always like, in a sense, come back to me and always say, hey, remember what you want to do, what you want to accomplish. So that's the good thing about now, you know, that I've lived through all that and I can tell a story now about, you know, that no matter what you do, no matter what is your past, you know, you can determine your future.
Speaking of defending yourself, you are known within wrestling lore a little bit, right? Like you know what I'm talking about. All these stories about you scrapping it out with like Simon Gotch and Sheamus and who else? Jericho. Like you're going after a lot of top dogs here. How true are some of these stories? And I mean, if anybody's been in a locker room, they know boys will be boys sometimes. Sometimes that's how you solve your problems. Then you're good with it. How true are these stories?
Well, I got sent to anger management class.
Really?
Yeah.
Was that by WWE?
Yeah, by WWE, exactly. Yeah, a lot of people don't know this, but they sent me to. But it wasn't. I don't have an anger issue. Like people that know me, that they understand that it's a respect issue. I grew up in the hood, you know, in the Segundo Barrio in El Paso and Rio Colorado in Ciudad Juarez, and that's how you get respect, you know. And if they don't respect you, then you got to show them how to respect. And for me, it's never been about proving anything to anybody. If I made it to WWE, it's because I was talented enough to be there, you know. But I got in a few couples here and there. But you know what? The good thing about us is that we can get in a fight one day and then tomorrow we'll be fine. Frustrations out and you're fine and you're friends again. We don't hold a grudge in that sense. And for me, you know, obviously me, you know, being a Latino kid, it's different. You know, I was starting a different light. And for me, it was like, you know, you have to earn your respect. You know, that's how I grew up. And sometimes in wrestling, it's a tough business because everybody wants to poke you and wants to see if you're good enough to be there. You know what I mean? And I was never there to, you know, hurt anybody or, you know, say that I was better than anybody in that sense. But obviously, when it was time to throw down, I can throw down a little bit.
You and Jericho are a lot alike in that sense because we heard about that one. And Jericho is known for being that type of guy, too. Like we heard about him. And Brock going at it, and him and Goldberg. So you got two guys who very clearly are not going to back down from each other.
Yeah.
So, I mean, were you all good after that?
Yeah, we were good. It was just a little, you know, a little misunderstanding here and there, a little scuffle, whatever. And then we spoke the next day. Everything was fine. You know, I had no grudge on it. Nothing happened. Obviously, on social media, things got to always get out of hand and say things that is not true and things like that. But, you know, like I was saying before, like you can get in a fight one day and the next day you'll be fine. And we, you know, we talked and everything was okay. Everything was cool. And sometimes in the middle of a tour, it's tough because you're away from home, you know, a lot of emotions are going on and things happen. But, you know, at the end of the day, we're good friends. You know, I don't mind, you know, anything that went on. And it's also a learning experience, you know. Also, it teaches you a lot about yourself. And sometimes that you got to be able to maybe control sometimes your emotions and even in the toughest moments. So for me, you know, the things that I went through or the stories that they tell, I always let them continue telling the stories.
Sure.
The only thing that I can tell you is that, you know, that I have defended myself and then, you know, that I can throw down a little bit here and there. I don't like to do it, but I wrestled in high school. I was a state champion wrestling in high school in Texas. I was undefeated, 35-0 as a senior. I was voted the most outstanding wrestler of the state tournament. I went to nationals, wrestled a couple of years in college. So that's a little bit about my background. And, you know, as a young kid growing up, I had to learn how to, you know, throw punches, because if not, you would get bullied. It wasn't like today that kids have social media, that have all this, you know, you can go to a counselor and a lot of things for help. Back in the day, you were considered a wuss if you would go and say that you were getting bullied, you know? It's like, you can't say that. So you have to learn to defend yourself. And in wrestling, you know, there's a lot of there in the beginning when you're trying to make it, obviously people are going to try and test you, see how bad you want it. So for me, it was in that sense, but it was never to hurt anybody or make anybody feel less than me, you know. And me and Sheamus have a great relationship with Jericho. Also with Simon Gotch, I have no idea what he's doing, but I wish him the best, you know. But
so we've actually seen a lot of Latino and Latina pro wrestlers like transition to MMA, like Sexy Star and Thunder Rosa with Combate Americas, especially, like they have a big foothold. Was that ever anything that you considered doing, or you would consider doing?
They've asked me a few times. They've asked me actually a few times if I considered fighting in a cage, you know. And and I was if I was a lot younger, I would consider it, because you have I think in MMA it's the mentality. It's the most importantly is a mentality. You have to have that mentality of trying to prove something to somebody. You get that, you know, that urge of like trying to destroy, and that's how you have to get into that mindset. And I'm in a different time in my life now. You know, I'm not in that sense of trying to destroy anybody or this and that or prove nothing to anybody. I'm just trying to do the best thing that I can in my life and continue doing what I love, which is wrestling. So, but we never know. Never say never, right?
Yeah. And pro wrestling has such a long shelf life right now. People are wrestling later in their careers than ever. And I don't just mean being out there in the ring, but like putting on incredible matches. And it doesn't look like that's going to slow up anytime soon for you. Because I remember the last time I saw you on Raw, you had a new manager. You were good to go. You looked great in the match. Do you remember what the creative plans were for that? Because it looked like things were moving up for you, but evidently it wasn't enough to keep you around.
No, the thing is that it was mostly to help. They were trying to push Andrade and Selena Vega during that time. Okay. So they brought Catalina with me to help with the storyline that was going on. And I actually thought I was going to continue having this young lady with me, you know, over the course maybe of a year to build something up. And then all of a sudden they told me, no, we're only going to bring her here for a few weeks. Once it's over, it's done. And I was like, okay. And then, so what's next after that? What's next for me? What am I going to do? Am I supposed to just sit around again and wait? Or that was, I think, one of the things that made me decide that I wanted to, you know, leave the company, that I was done with the company. Because I asked a few people, like, what's the future holds for me? What, you guys have any plans for me? What's going on? And nobody would give me a straight answer. Paul Heyman told me a straight answer. He said that Sin Cara was dead. That's what he told me.
Man, how did you feel about that? Because I know in watching your other interviews, you wanted to make good on WWE's investment in that character, because they didn't feel like they got their money's worth out of the guy who played it before. And you were like, I'm going to make them their money on this character.
Yeah,
but you didn't feel like that was provided the appropriate opportunity.
Yeah, I had the right mentality of, you know, I wanted to earn what I was getting paid. I was like, I wanted to, you know, go, if I went to television, use me for television. If I were there, I wanted to earn my pay. You know, I wasn't happy just sitting down and not doing anything. And I wanted them to get the investment that they had made on me, you know, stand out and succeed. But obviously it wasn't, a lot of things were not under my control. You know, a lot of things were in control and an office and the finger, you know, the little finger who they pointed, they say, grab the brass ring. It's not true.
Yeah.
It's whoever they want to give it to. That's not true of grabbing it.
We saw Andrade ask for his release and he got it. What do you make of his comments? He's really letting WWE have it lately. Cause like they'll talk about WWE Mexico and he's like, great, more people to sit in catering. Cause he was not happy with it.
Yeah, I mean, it only comes to, in a sense, like what I was telling before, or my decision to leave, you know, it only, you know, makes my decision, you know, that I was right. for leaving it, that I wasn't making it up, or that I was leaving because of my ego, or because I thought I was better than the company, or all kinds of stuff, you know, that they started saying. It was because we don't get the opportunities that we actually, you know, want to get. You know, how many, like I said before, like how many guys were in WrestleMania? How many Mexicanos were in WrestleMania this week? None, not even one. And the Latino star was not even a wrestler.
Yeah, that's right. Very
which is great. I mean, great for nothing against Bad Bunny. You know, he's an amazing artist. People love him, and great that he represents. But at the end of the day, if you're a wrestler, I would be very upset if I was a wrestler and not having myself in WrestleMania and getting that opportunity. If I was Carrillo, if I was Garza, if I was Metallic, I would have been very, very upset with that decision, because I've been there for many years, or a year or 2 years, whatever, you've been there, and I don't get that opportunity, and then somebody else comes and takes it. Well, something's wrong, right?
Yeah.
And then, so I think it only comes to show that they don't care. They don't care about Mexicanos. It's true. I mean, now they say they want to, you know, do great things in Mexico. This is my way of thinking. Like, why would you want to segregate the talent instead of giving them an opportunity on your brand over here in Raw and SmackDown and NXT? Why would you have to segregate a talent and put your own and make them their own brand just because you don't want to use them over here? I mean, it doesn't make sense.
I mean, a huge part of our viewership is Latino and Latina. I mean, all over the place, there's a huge section of American wrestling fans that want to see that.
Exactly.
So that is very surprising to me. And you were brought into, well, at one point you portrayed the Hunico character, which I love that. I love the bicycle thing. Have you ridden a bicycle since then?
Yeah, I have. I have the green and the red bike here in my house.
Oh, that's incredible.
I kept those. Yeah.
One of the things I always wanted to see was you in a Royal Rumble and Kofi Kingston to land on the bicycle, drive it around the ring, and then get back in.
that would have been a great spot to do, but we never got a chance to do it. I got taken out one time by Big Con. She threw me out. That was terrible. I was like, man, do I have to do this?
Yeah, I've always been so fascinated with how the Royal Rumbles work, and you were a part of several of them, including one over in Saudi Arabia. How different was the one in Saudi Arabia to work through than the normal ones? Because we're talking about 20 more people in that than usual.
Yeah, but the good thing about that, it was each of us would go out like after a certain time. It wasn't everybody in the ring at the same time. Like usually we start with like 30 people in the ring and we start like battling it out. This was like one after, I think after a minute or after 30 seconds, they would send somebody out and they would give us a little time to actually do some cool moves in the ring and things like that. So that was the difference about that one. It wasn't like a big crazy smosh, everybody in there.
Just,
you know?
the typical battle royals.
Yeah. And that was that, but yeah, it was long. And that was the epic Titus O'Neil slip, remember?
Oh, gosh.
Man, yeah. And I know a lot of people, when they think about it, they laugh. And we laughed in the back. It was crazy. But then if you really look at the back, if we would have had the old wrestling ring where they had like the screen, imagine he could have, you know, really hurt himself, broken his neck or something. But good thing that the ring, you know, he could have gone underneath, and there was like a little like a barrier also in the middle, and he went on the side. He would have hit it. Something really bad could have happened. So inside of all that, you know, funny stuff that happened, that's my way of thinking. Like, man, like, you could have really hurt yourself, or something really bad could have happened. But I'm glad that he didn't. It was just a funny moment, and I got to live that. It was a lot of fun. He's a good guy too.
He is a great guy. I've always gotten along well with him, and I mean, he's being recognized, which is really great in the Hall of Fame. So yeah, how was Saudi Arabia for you? I know you went over there a few times. You had went over there before the deal too, but you were also on the not so great trip.
that wasn't fun at all. Like, a lot of the boys were really upset. A lot of the boys were really, we felt that the company let us down in that sense of like just keeping us out there. They didn't really care. You know, they were coming up with all these excuses about the plane not leaving because they were ordering a part. They had to come from a different place and this and that. But I think we all know the truth, you know.
Had you heard that Vince had a disagreement with the head guy over there? Because
we didn't. In that moment, we didn't know at all.
Yeah.
No idea what was going on until like I think the next day. Then we actually were there for like a day and a half, like, and like being, I felt like I was being a hostage, being like in a country, like, what do I do? Like, a lot of the guys were like thinking of, should I get up? I'm going to go to the airport and buy myself a ticket and go back. Like, we can't leave. Like, what are you talking about? Like, like if they gave the order from up there, nobody can leave the country. So it was just sad to be able to realize that, you know, that, and that true, they didn't care. You know, they left, the bosses left, and they left us there stranded and see when they get back. And so a lot of the guys, actually, when that happened, they went to the office and said they didn't want to go back.
Yeah. I know Andrade was one of those people. And
Andrade, Kevin Owens, some of the guys, actually, I think Daniel Bryan said it too. And
yeah,
some of the guys, they were like, no, we don't want to go back. And it's understandable, you know? We had a meeting after that.
I was about to ask you about that.
It was a bunch of like just going here and there, like nothing concrete said about what happened.
And that's a big money deal for them. So for a lot of their top guys to be like, we're not going back, that hits hard.
Yeah, but a lot of the guys get paid the same. It wasn't like they were getting paid extra. They were making a lot of money, but not the guys.
Yeah.
Only some of the guys were really getting, you know, a lot of money. Other than that, the guys who were soldiers like me, they were always there. Not really. It wasn't like they were going to get this big bonus. Not true.
Yeah. So before we wrap up, of course, I want to talk about the Sin Cara character. And I loved it because I remember when you showed off your masks in a WWE video, you mentioned the history about how you were the first Místico. And that got taken over by the guy who eventually was the first Sin Cara. Did you all have a little laugh over that? Like, was that considered at all? Did WWE have any idea when they did this that had happened in the past?
Well, yeah, they did, because I had a meeting with Hunter and down in FCW when I explained to him what had happened with the names of Místico. It's not that they came about the idea and all of a sudden their writers or everybody just came up with this amazing idea. It was WWE's idea. No, it was because I told them the story of what had happened, and then from there we got into the storyline of the Sin Cara versus Sin Cara and all that thing that happened. But you know, I had a great time being Sin Cara for 7 years. I enjoyed it. I traveled many places. I wish I could have done a lot more with that if they would have let me. But at the end of the day, I always take the good from the bad, and my career continues, my life continues. Sin Cara is still a big part of who I am. It would always be a big part of who I am. The test is right here. So
I love it.
You know, great memories, and we got to continue living. We got to continue going on, and I'm just excited for what the future holds.
And you had some really great matches and moments as a part of Sin Cara, and I loved the black gear and the black mask. To me, that was such a cool contrast to everything that we had seen of the light Sin Cara in the past. Yeah. It was such a great transition and a natural story, because otherwise, how would we know who's under there? It was such an easy story to tell, and especially with your history.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun being the heel, being the bad guy and portraying. And to be honest, if it was me, I would have loved to be because all the mask guys in WWE are usually baby faces.
Yes.
I would have loved to actually been the first mask guy to be a heel. That would have been awesome. They would have kept me with a mask, but made me a heel for a while, you know. And I think just a few got ended really quick with me and the other Sin Cara. It was too quick. I think we could have done a lot more with it. We could have ran with it a lot more longer and done a lot more things. But you know, whatever happened, and I just had to continue doing what I love, which was wrestling. And then all of a sudden, when I get the call to portray Sin Cara after that, it was just like incredible. I couldn't believe it. But I ended up, you know, being myself. I ended up putting the, you know, a different light into the character, changing the outfit, a lot of the things, without losing the essence of what they wanted out of Sin Cara. But I wasn't trying to be him, you know. I wasn't trying to wrestle like him. I was wrestling like my style, what I wanted to do, and even in the creation of my outfits. Because a lot of people thought that WWE would pay for my outfits. No, they would pay me, and I would have to, out of that, I would have to buy my outfits.
Were you surprised when you left that they didn't do a new Sin Cara, like put somebody else under the mask? Did you think they were going to continue it?
I don't think, maybe there's still a possibility, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe, who knows? Who knows what they want to do, if they're going to do another one or not. But
Impact has done that a lot with the Suicide character. Like, yeah, we've seen like five or six different people under
it. Exactly. Yeah, but I don't think it'll be something, I guess, good for the public anyways. But at the end of the day, it's their only choice, whatever they want to do. I was there for, you know, 10 years. I enjoyed my time there. It was good times, bad times. They want to You know, they're gonna come up with another Sin Cara. Well, that's their choice, their decision. But I just have to continue of what I want to accomplish. You know.
Well, Cinta de Oro, I thank you so much for joining me. I can't wait to see you back in the ring, see what you're doing next. Can't wait to check out your books. I'm going to make sure that when you write that children's book, it gets in my wife's classroom as well.
Yes, sir.
Very
thank
excited
you, brother.
For that. But let the people know anything else that you want. We got your Twitter handle up there, of course, but let the people know what you're up to.
Yeah, we're just waiting for the pandemic to end and start wrestling. You know, I'm getting calls from promoters from different places, and I'm just excited to, you know, continue my career and doing what I love, which is wrestle. That's what I want. I want an opportunity to showcase my talent in Mexico, Puerto Rico, Qatar, wherever they call me. You know, I'm all for the challenge, and I'm excited for what the future holds for not just for me, but a lot of my friends that are, you know, going through all this craziness in the pandemic. But I want to thank you. I want to thank everybody, you know, that, you know, have always supported me in what I've done. And let's keep doing it, man. Let's keep going. Let's not stop. Let's just, you know, continue our focus and what we want to accomplish in our lives.
Yeah, thank you so much. Hope I get to speak to you again. This was fantastic. Check him out, guys. Until next time, we're out.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.